God. You know, the lines have fallen for you in pleasant places. The lines have fallen for you in pleasant places. Praise the Lord. You know, Psalm 16 verse 6 says that. I think it's the NLT that says, the lines of my boundary have fallen for me in pleasant places. Praise the Lord. What that means is that as your boundaries begin to extend, they don't extend into lands that are dry and barren. They are pleasant places. Praise the living God. You know, I learned something with my walk with God, and I learned that there's a place where a man reaches, or a woman, where they reach in their relationship with God, and their life is a witness. And they're no longer trying to witness with words. Their life is a witness. Now, when that person's life is a witness, it's a witness in degrees. And even in those degrees, you find that things you could do casually, you can no longer do them casually because you're the witness. So the time comes where Silver Springs is just here and you stay nearby, but you can't jump on a border. You get what I'm saying? You can't jump on a border because you are a witness. Praise the living God. And a time comes where you can't walk with coins. Because the message that you preach and you represent, you're the witness of it. Praise the living God. And so even if you're going to buy charcoal. Not charcoal. Not your portion. Okay, now I'm talking to the right people. So what are you going to buy? Gas? Banange. Gas? When you're going out to buy something, or whatever it is, you send someone, because you see, they can't see you shopping. You understand? They wonder, where does this person shop from? Praise the Lord. Not because it's an embarrassment to go shopping, but there's a place where you reach and you're the witness. And so if you went into a place that is crowded, you might be overrun. And so for the sake of it, you decide to send people. There's a life where you're a witness. And people just hear rumors about you. And make prayers that someday they can just come across your path. There is a life like that. Praise the Lord. Where the only rumors are good. They're only good rumors, not bad ones. And so, somehow you've awakened the spirit of my father. Now, and so, you, there are things that you see, that even the car that you drive, a time comes when, because, you want to do envisioning, the country is too small for where you can pray. And so you jump on a plane and go somewhere where people do not know you. But after some time, even that becomes saturated. And the countries, the nations, God gives them to you as an inheritance. You go somewhere, everywhere your feet step, you're a witness. And that is the desire of the Lord. And I say again, the lines have fallen for you in pleasant places. Praise the living God. There comes a time where even your WhatsApp status is a ministry. And so while before you could post yourself with a funny haircut and you go to Instagram and those good things, I don't know what they are. And your WhatsApp, now you have over 5 million followers. And so what you do affects. There's a time where you reach there. Your lines are falling for you in pleasant places. You might be unknown now, but the spirit world knows you. And because it knows you, the natural world has no choice but to bow. Praise the living God. There's a scripture. I forget. I think it's Luke 12, where Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat dies, fall down and die, it cannot, he says, it abides alone. He says, but if it fall, verse 26, Luke 12, verse 36, the Spirit of God has whispered. Now, I think it's verse 20, 16, Matthew, you look for it, I think it's 36, 24. But he says, it abides alone, and he says, but if it fall down and die, it will be multiplied. Now the principle there is that men and women, say you're looking to, you have a business and you're looking to draw people to your business, or you have a ministry and you're trying natural means to bring people to your ministry. It says, when something dies, it draws men. Huh? When something dies, there comes a time where your walk with God, in your walk with God, where your life is not your own. Now, I'm a very shy person. Praise the Lord. I'm very shy, and I always tell people, I'm not used to being the center of attention. If there was a way I could avoid it, but and I was telling someone told me, but you stand before people every Friday and you minister. So that's different, because I'm always taking the attention and focusing it on God. It's not on me. But when people decide to focus on you, even God takes a back seat and says, "Cut now." Your life is not your own. There's a place where you reach, and so there are things that people do, and some unknowingly, others knowing very well that they've fought for 4 years. Others have fought for 4 years, and just one thing opens a door. One thing opens a door. What someone is fasting for, you know who has it and what to do. Praise the Lord. Okay. Since we're talking about birthdays, you know, there's something spiritual about a birthday. I didn't come with a sharing. I just came to feel the atmosphere, and the Lord will release. But there's something spiritual about birthdays, and I won't dwell too much into it. But give me Acts chapter 17, verse 24. Is it, Lord? Yes, I think so. This is Paul speaking. He says, God that made the whole world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. 25. And it says, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. 26. And hath made of one blood all nations of men. What that means is that all of us, there's a place where all of us, all people on the face of the earth, are a kindred. Okay? Because you're a human being, you're looking at your brother and your sister. There's a level of that. We're all children of God in that respect. That's why he says, all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth. And he has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Now what that means is that on the day that you were born, God said you should be a Muchiga. And not only did he say you should be a Muchiga, he orchestrated the house that you'd be born in. Yes? Even for those of you who your parents said it was by mistake. I wasn't planning, and then she just told me she's pregnant. Those things. And he orchestrates it, and orchestrates, the Bible says, the boundaries of your habitation. That means being Ugandan was chosen before the foundations of the earth. The color of your skin, perfectly chosen. Okay? Do you know that dark skin all over the world is considered a negative thing? That's why, if you look amongst the Indians, there are lighter Indians and darker ones. And the darker ones are underlooked. Okay? if you look in Asia, all parts of the world, darker skins are considered negative. And yet here, the Bible says that where the Lord put you, He orchestrated the boundaries of your habitation. That means even if your parents were broke, somehow in the mind of God, He put you exactly there, knowing that the end of your purpose, the environment was perfect to fulfill it. So that means no one starts off with an advantage. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Eh? He orchestrated the times and the boundaries of your habitation. Now, when you are born, the Bible says in the book of John, chapter 3 and verse 8. John chapter 3, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, a man who's struggling to understand spiritual things. He comes with, he has read a lot of Bible. And he says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it came from, whether it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now let me ask you a question. We all say we're born again, which Jesus refers to here as being born of the Spirit. What gets born again? Huh? Is it your body? Is it your soul? It's your spirit. Now, if your spirit gets born again, there must have been an initial birth. Okay. Huh? If being born again is in reference to the spirit, there must have been an initial birth. And Jesus speaking says that he who is born of the Spirit, just like the wind, he doesn't know, just like you don't know where the wind bloweth, so is one born of the Spirit. And what he's saying is that the life of a person who is yielded to God, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you can be broke and rich that quickly. You don't know which way the wind is blowing. You understand? And so, because the wind in itself is a mystery, it can turn anytime. You are meant to be a mystery. But you see, the Lord never desired that your life should be a mystery to you. Praise the Lord. There was an initial birth, and I won't dwell on that. Someday I'll share on it. There was an initial birth. But before you came onto this earth, you knew and you were shown your path. And I've said it over and over again, that Christianity is a remembering. It's a remembering. And that's why you have encounters like deja vus and so on. Yeah? And so somehow there are landmarks upon your life that were put there before the foundations of the earth. You know, scripture says, there's a scripture that says that grace was given to us before the foundations of the earth. Yes? Now, if it was given to us before the foundations of the earth, it's in 2 Timothy. If it was given to us before the foundations of the earth, that means Adam must have experienced grace. Yes? So did his sons, and so did everyone in the Old Testament. Now I'm missing, fixing people up. You see, if you look through scripture, the Bible says that after Adam and Eve sinned, the first thing the Lord does is get skin, presumably from an animal, and covers them. The first act of grace, irrespective of sin. Yes? That is grace. Then, scripture goes on to say that when Cain is born, Genesis chapter 4, verse 15, Cain, the first murderer, God puts a mark on him and says, whoever hurts him, seven times shall it come to you. A murderer, he experiences grace. Now, the spiritual principle there is that, and as the Lord is leading me, I want you to pay close attention. Because there are three things you need to master in your life to have and walk what we call the spiritual life. Three. The first is you must have an understanding of grace. You must have an understanding of grace. The chiefest understanding of grace is to be absent of the conscience of sin. That means that you can't go around your entire life when you're born again Christian and things are not working out, and the first thing on your mind is maybe because I didn't give seed the other day. Huh? Maybe it's because I didn't pray enough. The first, actually, is the initial place, not the chiefest place. It's the most important place. You must release your mind from the consciousness of what you've done. Okay? Very, very crucial. And so we see a path of grace in the book of Genesis that the Lord is showing us as a precursor of the times that we're in. Okay? And so Noah is shown grace. Abraham is shown grace in various levels. And that's why the Bible says, because people usually say Abraham lied, but the Lord tells the guy and says, wait. Huh? He tells the king Abimelech. He tells him that indeed you will die unless Abraham prays for you. Okay? There's a place where sin disappears in the eyes of God. And it's only in the light of who you are in Christ Jesus. So you must understand grace first from that place. That if you want to learn to prophesy, the issue is never because last night you spent the whole night watching something. Huh? Can we agree with that? Your heart and your mind must be absent of the consciousness of you and sin. And it must be put to what Christ did. You must be conscious of righteousness. Very simple, but many people fail at this stage. The next thing is you must have an understanding of purpose and the purposes of God. You must have an understanding of purpose and the purposes of God. Now, please understand that the purposes of God means that in every scenario, in every circumstance, all the friends that you have, in the things, in the lows and the ups, there is a hidden purpose of God. God does not give you a job just for salary. God does not get you married just for sex. Yes? God does not give you a grace to travel just to look around and see things where you have traveled. To everything, there are the hidden purposes of God. When men have worked with God long enough, they understand that the purposes are linked to timings. You cannot talk about purpose in the eyes of God without aligning it to timing. That's why the Bible says, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven. And so the thing is this, when a man has learned to decode purpose, he also learns to discern times. To such a man, there is no such thing as delay. If I know when God is going to move, he hasn't delayed. And so the language of delay is only for men who have failed to discern timings. The Bible says in the book of Acts, it says, chapter 3, verse 19, it says, repent ye therefore, which means the turning of your mind, okay? Change the way you think. Hey, now I've messed you up, some of you. And it says, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. In other words, take your consciousness out of your head. That sin thing. Huh? Because once you become a Christian, the issue is no longer sins being blotted out. Can we agree? It's now a consciousness issue. And he says, this is what, When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. When you came on this earth, when you were birthed, God put out a path. Along that path were appointed visitations of God, which are referred to as the times of refreshing. Now, along your path, they're there. There is no one who does not have an appointed season of a visitation of God. No one. And there are many along your path. A man can see, can know that they are appointed, that there are visitations along his path. But a man who does not know the timings of God, Scripture says, you did not know the day of your visitation. That is not your portion. Yes? Along that path are visitations of God. And as men walk with God, an understanding of the timings becomes clear. That's why Scripture says in the book of Genesis, the Bible says, take me Genesis chapter 18, verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him, this is Abraham, in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. So this is Abraham, he's sitting on a tent. And Scripture says, verse 2, he says, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them. Okay? So he's seen three men, he sees them and runs to meet them. Then he says, and bowed himself to the ground. Verse 3. And said, my Lord, he knows who it is. He's not asking, who are you? Huh? He's seen three strangers, runs, doesn't walk, doesn't come under these thieves, runs, bows down instantly, and says, if I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. So somehow, Abraham knew the day of his visitation. Yeah? Yes? That is your portion. I repeat, that is your portion. Now, what is disturbing a number of people in the body of Christ is that only few have learned to discern time. Scripture says of the New Testament that there is a gift of the discerning of spirits, and there is such a thing as a spiritual timing that must be discerned. Yes? I'll say again, to the man who understands grace, sin does not exist in his conscience. To the man who understands purpose, competition does not exist. And to the man who understands time, delay does not. You're with me? Praise the Lord. I say again that the Lord orchestrated where you were born, who your friends are now, those who came accidentally. Someday you are seated somewhere in class. First day in class, the person you sit right next to becomes your friend. And you say, oh my God, we just randomly. Never. The family that you were placed in. And can I touch this for a bit? Yes. You see, because we're talking about birth, in the very sense of it, in the spirit world, purpose has order. Nothing is disorganized. Now, let me mess you up, because there's a part in Scripture in 1 Corinthians, it says, Paul is talking about order in the church. He's talking about order in the church. And so, some bishop somewhere says, order is indeed, we must start on time, end on time, chairs must be like this, please don't overshout, don't overmove. On the natural plane, that's order. But in the spirit, order is as the spirit leads. You hear me? Yes. Hey, you guys. That means a person can start shouting, hallelujah! The entire session, they're shouting. And you say, now these people are just disturbing us. They're just in here. And you see, if a minister has caught on to the flow of the spirit, often, those are what we call actually liberties in the spirit. Liberty in the spirit means it's actually where the Lord wants to take you. And where actually, the Lord corrects me, it's where you are, you need to be awakened to it. Now, liberties in the spirit mean this, that there's a place where a man reaches, just like the wind. He doesn't have money, but it's only because he doesn't want it. Huh? Now, someone will say, at what point will a man not want money? Let me be specific. Someone can call $5 million. You have it in you. But you have learned the understanding of the timings and things that are fall within what the Bible refers to as in Romans 12:2, the good, acceptable, and the perfect will. So, you can call $5 million. But it falls in the permissible. Huh? But when it's needed, you will call it. Huh? That is liberty in the spirit. Someone says someone is fighting for visa to go to the USA. You sit, you chill, you relax, drink a Coke, go visit people, what? Then the Lord tells you, I want you to go to the US. You go to the visa office, you haven't thought about whether they're going to refuse me, what? You've got your work. You understand? That person either are there or they're fired. It's really that simple. And so, they are there, and this is about knowledge, because if you go there absent of that kind of knowledge, the devil bullies you, which is not your portion. Okay? Those are liberties in the spirit. Okay? And so, there are people, and everyone has a place where they've tapped into a liberty, but the Lord wants your entire life to be a liberty. So someone has tapped into the fact that sickness can never be part of their portion. Okay? And so they've tapped into that liberty. Those are liberties in the spirit. And so you understand that wherever the wind blows, if the Lord tells you here, there you will go. That is the life of the Christian. Okay? So all of us are born, and where we were born was so acutely, it was well done. There was research to put you exactly where you are now. That annoying sister or brother, sibling. And so I said that in the spirit world there is order to such an extent that the number of children is not an accident in a family. Not only the number, now hear me carefully, every family on earth has a spiritual pattern. Every single family on earth has spiritual patterns. Those patterns, some divine, some demonic, not your portion. And I'm not talking about generational curses here. I'm talking about things like names or functions or events, things that are done constantly, but people are oblivious of the fact that they actually have patterns to them. Now, those spiritual patterns, if they're demonic, the Lord will often, hear me, often bring someone into the family with the aim of breaking the pattern. Amen. Guys, in your family, whoever was born first, whoever was born second, third, carefully orchestrated. I know. And because of that, the Bible says in Exodus 13 verse 2, that it is a specific blessing placed upon the firstborn child. The child that opened forth the womb. Now, while there's a specific blessing on that child, both the devil and God have their eye on the child that opens up the womb. You with me? If, however, in a family, say there was not a demonic pattern, there's a divine one, the firstborn is brought forth to expound it.
You see?
And so, the child comes forth. And if someone is spiritual now, the Lord has shown me, okay. I've just seen a vision, eh? Okay. When you get a child, for those who don't have children yet, eh? When you get a child, this is so that you can know that these things are not just random, eh? You see in the Bible, let me give you an example. In the Bible, there was a man called Herod. There was a Herod, the first Herod mentioned in scripture, tried to kill the babies, eh? When Jesus was born. Okay? And he asked the wise men, show me where is the star of this Christ, eh? Okay? That was the first Herod. A second Herod mentioned in scripture was the one Herod who, Antipas, he tried to kill John the Baptist. Very different Herod from the first one. Eh? He tried to kill. Now these were family members, each named. Herod Antipas tries, actually he kills John the Baptist. Then in Luke 13 verse 30. Quick. Luke 13 verse 30. He says, and behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. 31. Is it Luke? John 13. Okay, no, that's it. Then the same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence. Give me Amplified. Amplified is the one with the AMP. At that very hour, some Pharisees came up and said to him, who? Jesus. Go away from here, for Herod is determined to kill you. This is the same Herod who cut off the head of John the Baptist. Listen to what Jesus says. 32. And he said to them, go and tell that fox. Huh? Sly and crafty, skulking and cowardly. Behold, I drive out demons and perform healings today and also tomorrow. In other words, he's saying, you're coming to kill me, but me, I'm telling you, I'm healing today, but also tomorrow. It's actually the secret behind, by this time tomorrow, I'll be in a better place. It's an understanding that no matter what the devil brings your way, tomorrow is as sure. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So there was that Herod, Antipas. There was another Herod in Acts chapter 12 who actually killed James, the first martyr. Okay? He killed James and arrested Peter. That's a different Herod. And the last Herod mentioned in scripture, Paul is standing before him in Acts 26. And he says, I know you believe, Herod. Paul is talking to him. He says, I know you believe. And then Herod says, do you want to also convert me? Now, I don't have time to go into history, but all these were family members. Each of them died terrible deaths. That wasn't curse. It was pattern. You guys. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? Every family on earth has spiritual patterns. And as your family is being built, yours, may you start the patterns of God. Eh? Every family has a spiritual pattern. So the firstborn comes out, and I really have to rush this. Eh? And so the firstborn comes out, a specific blessing on him. And that's why the enemy in scripture would always focus on firstborns. Eh? So he comes to Cain, corrupts him. Okay? All of a sudden he goes through, messes up Esau. Okay? Goes through, and you know, Ishmael and so on and so forth. Eh? And so always it seems the Lord's focus was always on the second. Huh? As the enemy looked. And the reason for that actually is because the Lord messed up the devil. The very first prophecy in scripture, the Bible says, the seed of woman shall trample upon the head of the serpent. It's a prophecy that God makes, and it's a prophecy of Christ. And Satan is present in the serpent as that prophecy is being made. But he doesn't know when the Christ is coming. So what does he do? Knowing the blessing of a firstborn corrupts Cain. Now, okay.
So if you're a firstborn here, there's a specific light you carry, a divine purpose that you carry, that is meant to create a pattern for your family. But then there's a place for lastborns.
Don't worry, I'm coming.
Or is the pattern of the spirit, and I have to touch these things very quickly. Now, there's a pattern for lastborns. Lastborns come into a house to show a change of season. I know what I'm talking about. That's why often in scripture, when the last born came, the signs we see in scripture is they're a sign of joy. Okay? Because spiritually, what has been the same is about to Then there is a middle child.
Ah, you guys. Can we end here? Okay. And so I think, no, I'm not going to go in here. Someone is saying the second one, even the third one. But anyway, what I need you to know is,
but even you need to understand the spiritual pattern of things, because there's usually an onus upon that child, the middle one, to support the first and the last. And it's a very crucial aspect, because God often, in their character, puts a selflessness.
Okay. That's it.
Praise the Lord. They are often people, you know, they love people around them, like to help people. It's often in their character. The desire of the Lord is to support. Now, one day I'll teach on this in the family, in depth, because even the only child, they're not only child here. Because you see, when a child is an only child, the aspects of the first and the last are in that child. you guys. And so what I'm telling you is extremely important, because in the spirit world, purpose is shown by order. And that order is never accidental. One day, when the Lord allows, I will show you that even the people who are prophetic in the family are chosen divinely according to a pattern.
Yes.
According to a pattern. And so, the enemy often attacks bloodlines. He attacks bloodlines because he knows if he can distort a family, he knows at the back of his mind that God sees generationally. Never does God pick Emma for Emma.
Guys,
never does God pick Emma for Emma. The Bible says that when God appeared to Abraham, Genesis 18:19, he chose him because he saw in him the ability to teach his children and his children's children. So God chooses you. The Spirit of God chooses you. The encounter you have with him is timely. It's always for people coming right after you. Now the enemy knows that God chooses and sees generational. So he tries to mess up family, especially children. And so in this day, what he has done is to bring a focus on homosexuality, on lesbianism, even things like a young lady being raped by parents or relatives or whatsoever, and so she has a wrong perception towards men, okay? Or a broken heart and you have a wrong perception, so that it can kill the generational flow. I'm telling you that there are spiritual patterns in the family. And these are the things that I'm referring to as understanding the purposes of God. Purposes of God. Should ever the firstborn be corrupted, anyone below him can take it up. Anyone below him who chooses can take it up and run with it. Now, the Bible does say, it does say, Paul says a prayer, Ephesians 3:14, he says, I fall on my knees before the Father. And he says, of both families, both in heaven and on earth. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15. He says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now remember I told you that there are patterns in the spirit, in the very sense of it, that they are installed within families. Deeply installed. Some divine, some demonic. But the moment someone gets born again, the name in the eyes of God isn't just Malinga Daniel. Scripture says, my people who are called by my name. Huh? And so, some of you know it not. Eh? Even with the chaos in your family, the poverty, the what, things that might have happened, and that changes now. But even with that, you are the light stopping the total destruction. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? Praise the living God. Now, some of us, our minds, those people are not here, but for a number of Christians, their minds are myopic. 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 Eh? Let me leave you with that word. So that, but God has called you, and from a certain perspective, it's about what is my call. But the Bible doesn't call it your purpose. It says who are called according to his purpose. Not yours. Yes? And so you say, what is my call? Eh? What job am I going to get? How will I get married? Now, all those things, they fall in the good. It's okay. Think about what you're going to eat. Okay, at a certain level, fine. But the mind of God is raise your eyes above yourself and look at the your place in the global church. The reason as to why you are brought here, that it was so important you came in this time before Christ returns. You could have come in the generations before, but it was so crucial that you came, that they birthed you in this time. So your mind should be, as the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these shall be added. What it's actually saying there is, have a kingdom mindset. If I'm going to the UK, it's not because God just wants me to study. My roommate, my lecturer, my random person I meet someday, I was your landlord. Okay, I'm believing on God that you will own a house, eh? And so you will be the landlord, eh? But they are divinely orchestrated. And if you begin, as your eyes begin to open with the things of the spirit, and I'm saying this because the day you are born, every time it repeats itself. I say, every time your birthday comes, if you just, okay, If you would just come to the understanding that it's not just about happy birthday. You go back to the day that Christ was born and see what happened. And know that every time that season comes back, there are angels. Your destiny is being perfected. And so what you did not see clearly, your heart on your birthday should be. Now I'm saying this, Martha, it's your birthday. You should know. Okay. I know I'm boring some people, but... The day you are born, carefully orchestrated, leave these natural calendars. There's a spiritual one. And every time it repeats itself, the atmosphere that was present when Christ was born is present. Now, you have the authority and the right to decree, declare, speak, remove, uproot, plant. You have the freedom. On that day, you literally become a prophet. Now, I know what I'm talking about. Literally become a prophet. Okay? And so, these days that are orchestrated. And so, please understand that even being a husband or a wife is far beyond cooking, cooking, ironing. You know, how can you limit God to something so food, so small? You limit him to, no, a man must go out and provide, and indeed he must. But you don't limit God to that. There are purposes beyond that. Do you know, especially when it's ordained of God, that when a man finds his help meet, and the two marry, and one day I'll tell you when the actual marriage takes place, but and the two actually marry, there is something deposited in the spirit of that woman that is essential. I didn't say helpful. Essential to the extent that absent of her, and that saying, you've heard of it, that behind every successful, there was a woman. Eh? It's not just an adage. Eh? Because the essential part that God has put in her means that there are places he cannot go by his name alone. Now, I wish I could touch on this. Praise the Lord. Eh? And even the woman meeting the man. Oh, you guys. And you begin to... Your wedding day is not just for people to eat and what and so on and so forth. You begin to realize the divine purposes of God in things. There is a hand playing around. That you need to understand that before you had a child outside wedlock, quote unquote. Before you had a child outside wedlock, God knew before you came, but still brought you. So that means a child outside wedlock has not disorganized grace. We agree? Now, even though the child is outside wedlock, now I'm not encouraging you, but even though the child is outside wedlock, the need for that child in this age is so crucial that what seemed like it's a mistake to you, there's a divine hand, and I'm telling you that this age now, and remember when I said that as we get closer to the return of Christ, by the way, the Antichrist is very present. Not only is he very present, he's someone you all know. For another day. Now we just leave you with that. Someone gets lost there. All day, just like, okay? But, as we come towards the end of this age, the number of children born reduce. Because in heaven, there are orchestrated number of people to come on earth. I've left you. So there's an orchestrated number, predetermined before the foundations of the earth. So people will become quote unquote barren, not because of barrenness, but because of timing. Now, hear me, child of God, that that purpose is linked to timing. Linked to it. The enemy is strategic when he attacks. And is strategic when he attacks on time. He doesn't just randomly attack you. Okay? Circumstances have to be suitable. Sangapi. You know what sangapi means? I don't think about it. Along your lifeline, this path, scripture says that there are visitations, there are times of refreshment, and there are men and women who, having walked with God, have learned to discern timings and the moves of God in the spirit. And so, such men who have stopped being myopic and look at their role in the global move of God. Such men, they enter, they move from the realm of gifting into what is actually called ministry. And so we think, oh, singing is just, we're ministering. No. The actual place of ministry is when you are no longer the focus. And so you've understood that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. And so you've begun to understand that yes, now I seem to be in a period of stagnation. But does he not see that right now I know I want to get married? But does he not know? I told you, a person who has understood, or even if they don't understand, they need to know that there are divine purposes for things. And so my mistake, whether I'm praying or not, yes, whether I'm praying or not, whether I'm fasting or not, whether I'm speaking in tongues or not, there is an appointed visitation. Sometimes that visitation comes by men. God visits you through a man. And so you're busy waiting for when God will come. And he comes by a man. Whether you meet him along the street. And I'm telling you this. Remember when I said there are people who are holders, who are portals. And not just men or women of God. In that office where you are, someone is a portal. And sometimes you don't know why you're planning to leave the office, but all the opportunities for you to leave have not yet come. And what God is doing is waiting to orchestrate your visitation through someone. I'm telling you, God visits men. And this is a revelation that Psalms chapter 8 is a revelation that David had. And he said, Psalms chapter 8 verse, give me, okay, verse 3, start from verse 3. And he says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, actually verse 2, leave it there, verse 3. He says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Verse 4. He says, who is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visiteth him? Somehow he had a revelation that God visits. Abraham had the same revelation that God visits. Somehow you think that randomly Daniel or Joseph or Sarah or whoever just said, why don't you apply for this job? Know the day of your visitation. And this is why I say that if you ever want to know and sleep in the fact that you're in the will of God, love him. The loving of God automatically, irrespective of circumstance, puts you in the will. And the perfect will. The loving of God. Praise the Lord. And so, night and day, you don't know, you've seen someone else get married, you've seen someone else get, yes, Lord, I just love you. I don't have a house, but I love you. I don't have a car. I love you, Lord. And you boast about him, feast about him. And irrespective of circumstance, you're in perfect will. Such people, when their day comes, they look broke, they what? But people look at them and say, man, there's something about you. There's something about you. No one needed that. Praise the Lord. Love him. Love him. Let me wind up. Because actually, the Spirit of the Lord is here. And so are his angels. And there are things that are being orchestrated for you. Because I saw a vision of someone. We shall sort you, eh? Praise the Lord, eh? There are timings in the Spirit. The Bible says, of Jesus, for at the appointed time, Jesus came. Not random. Not random. One way you can know seasons and timings, I've said before, I've taught it, that one way you can know it is every season starts with a burden and ends with peace. And not burden, terrible burden, a burden of a nagging. That's one way. Another way is by the prophetic. I'm telling you, if you denounce the prophetic, you're denouncing the discerning of seasons. I'm telling you. Now, every word that is spoken over your life has timings. Every single word has a time. Every single word has a timing. And so, to you what seems like a delay. Okay. Because you see, if I pick someone out randomly and say, the Spirit of the Lord says, I see you in the USA. Amen. 1 year. 2 years. Okay, let's make it less. Let's say November, December, January, and time goes, and you begin. Did I do something wrong? Consciousness of sin. Remove it. Has nothing to do with what you've done. Absolutely nothing, and I say it again, nothing to do with what you've done. That's one. Two, purpose. As I end. In the very sense that everything that has been spoken is not absent of what God has called you to do. So the time a genuine man says, I see you starting up a business. That business is not because you are broke. And not because you said, God, I need something to open up a door. Everything orchestrates to make you shine your light to the world. Is not absent of it. And when the time comes, no devil, No person who doesn't like you said, you will what? Now, I'm telling you, because I've seen around, there are family members, girls, all of them unmarried. And the whispers are, maybe it's my great grandfather who did something. They took something to a tree somewhere. My answer to you, love God. Love God. Sit, play some worship. Love God. The other day, when I was telling the Lord I want to shift house, as I sat, I didn't spend a lot of time. Lord, I want to shift. This is the house I had. I went, put my feet in the house, came back home, and loved it. You know? Loved him. And so, as you throw your love towards God, something in you dies. And when something in you dies, that scripture comes through that I started with. Unless a seed dies, it cannot be multiplied. You hear me? You hear me? There's such a presence of God here, eh? You, every single one of us here, are not destined to be below the other. There is a table of kings. You are welcome. Huh? The understanding of that, I said, where there's purpose, there's no competition. I know there are other teachers out there, but this is me. Huh? The Lord showed me a vision of where this ministry is going. And the things I cannot say, but He showed it to me. And then He said, He asked me a question. Are you ready? And it's always very interesting about God, because being omniscient, He knows the answer. Huh? But asks you. And so the things that I had seen, some things I said no. I said, this one, will I handle? Then He said, it is not you to do. It's God who works in you, both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. Now, there are people here who are in a season of marriage. They know they're in a season of marriage. I finish you. I want to finish, yeah? I want to finish, yeah? Then we're gone. You see, listen carefully. Wait, listen. Listen. There. Jesus knew the will of God at 12. He said, do you not know that I must be at my Father's business, about my Father's business? And not only did he know the will of God, he knew when he was supposed to start. That's why when Mary tells him to do a miracle, he says, my time has not yet come. Now may that be your portion. Amen. That timing aspect is what I was referring to as the liberties of the Spirit. You can do something, but it's not time. You understand, eh? And so, at 12 years, now what that actually tells us is that a child brought up well, the Spirit has the ability to be so condensed with the presence of God at 12 that you can know your path. It's not just a Jesus thing. Now, Moses at 40, he's not Jesus, but at 40, he knows the will of God. Acts chapter 7, Lasset Tekere Boshon Daraba, 25. Acts chapter 7, verse 25. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. but they did not understand. This is speaking of Moses. You'll check the whole thing. So he kills someone, thinking people will understand that God had sent him to deliver. Now, Moses knows will, but doesn't know timing. Huh? Because it was not the time of God. He was in the scope of the will. He's right. He felt it, and he was right about what he was supposed to do. The time was off. Until God now appears and sends him. Okay? And I've said it before, that when it comes to the will of God, please stop coming to me. I prophesy to you a job, and you receive three, and you ask, man of God, I want to know which one is God's. Choose the best. Huh? God is never where there is the worst. Choose the best. And you see, have the freedom to have a relationship with God to know that he got you. Huh? So, I speak a word. The Lord gives you a job in the name of Jesus. You see three options. One of them is taking me out. One of them is here. One is here. You say, which one is your best? Go ahead. Now, my job as a minister is only to come in when danger is on your way. And you have to rest to know that God knows where you are and who he can resurrect to come and help you. Yeah? So be free. I say, over which car do I drive? Which one will represent with the best? Recently I was doing house searching. I remember back those days, guys who were around back those days, I was in a group called Cheap Houses on Facebook. And I removed myself from it because it's not my portion. I was like, my God. Now some of you are in Cheap Houses groups. Get out now in the name of Jesus. But I was in a group called Cheap Houses. I left that long ago. And so the houses that I was looking at were quadruple the amount or treble the amount of the place that I'm staying at. And every time I stepped in me, I was saying, now this is the life. This is the life. It's not wherever the wind blows. Go. And as I was doing that, I found some ladies here who had just come from the same house. And I was so proud of them. I was so proud of them. They hadn't left it to man of God's status. He said, where are you from? We're from checking out the house there. I said, nah, that's it. That's how you do it. And so what you do, when you do things like that, you awaken timings. Never ever, when you feel you've got it wrong, you go into a house and they kick you out. Never ever think that you've done something wrong or consciousness of sin. Remove it. Because there's an experience planted in your spirit that someone who has never ventured does not have. And your time will come. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord told me to tell you one thing that is crucial. That there is a language of the spirit world. And some of you know that sometimes I can say things and you don't understand them. But somehow your spirit feels satisfied. Because there is a food your spirit eats. There's a food your spirit eats. And that satisfaction means that you have received. But there is a place where the Bible says, Jesus says to the disciples, he says, I have so many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. You must learn to build the strength of your spirit man. That's why the Bible says, Jesus grew strong in spirit. Strong in spirit. You must learn to grow the strength of your spirit man. That has nothing to do with being able to quote 1,000 scriptures. Nothing to do with that. Totally. I have seen people in the spirit who know a lot of scriptures but are weak. And they even make me laugh. Someone says, the devil attacked me last night. Do you know the rank the devil has? And who he attacks? He sent you like a minion, man. He's just saying the devil attacked me. The devil?
Okay, anyway.
So, there, you must learn to grow the strength of your spirit. And it's grown primarily by just being around the ambience of the right people. Huh? And so learn to hear testimonies. Learn to hear testimonies. But even more importantly, learn to dress up as your testimony before it shows up. Eh? So, I've seen pictures of people on Facebook dressing up in wedding gowns. And then people laugh, God, this one's a desperate word. In the end, you'll be the one waiting and the man of God. Huh? Man of God. Things are not working.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.